Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning into our program today. We are joined, of course, by the Honorable Sam Rohrer, who is the president of the American Pastors Network, and also Evangelist Dave Kistler, who's the president of the North Carolina chapter of the Pastors Network, and he's the founder and president of Hope to the Hill Ministries. And I'm Pastor Isaac Crockett, senior pastor at Hamburg Bible Church in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. Well, as we begin our program today, I kind of want to think back to yesterday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We started out with some powerful and timely quotes directly from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And today I would like to revisit a topic that we've talked about often and that really hinges on that part of equality that we talked about yesterday. And that is the topic of immigration in the United States. And I want to examine what the Bible teaches us about this topic. Now, many in our listening audience have heard from me before, and you know that my family is about as much of the all-American melting pot as one can get. My grandparents immigrated to the United States from different countries. They met here in college. My mother grew up in Europe. I've had family members living in five different continents, and my wife immigrated to the United States from India. She became a citizen as a child in elementary or middle school. And a few weeks ago, my family, we were walking into a restaurant, my wife and my three children, when two women who I don't know were walking past, and one of them started kind of staring at me and staring at my family. And then she turned to me and she said, "Mail order bride, huh?" Evidently, she thought it was strange that I would be with my wife, who is of Indian descent, and our children who take after my wife considerably darker than I am. And, you know, I thought about that. I thought, wow, that was very unusual. It's not normal. Usually my family and I, we fit well in our country because we have such a diverse country. And so, Dave, I wanted to just kind of ask you on your thoughts. I know that your wife's family immigrated to our country. And I also know that as an evangelist, you've traveled all over the States, but also all over the world. Just like to get your thoughts on this. Do you think that America is more diverse or less diverse than other countries? And do you think that the people in America, that Americans, are more accepting or less accepting of foreigners than most countries?
Well, Sam, Isaac, that's a great question. And I think it depends on which country you would compare America to. Obviously, we are an incredibly diverse country. We're probably on par with most of the European countries, certainly with the United Kingdom. But if you were to compare us to maybe African countries or other countries, we may be more or less accepting and more or less diverse. But I think we're pretty much on par with the European continent.
Very interesting. So, you know, I think sometimes we get kind of kicked around as if we're not very accepting, when in reality, we probably are very much similar to our other countries. Well, Sam, our president has made it clear that his goal is to put America first in all of our policies. Now, many people have reacted to that policy of him putting America first, including a lot of Christians, and speaking myself as somebody, a younger evangelical, I know a lot of my peers have criticized him and have claimed that that is very unloving, and some even saying ungodly. Looking at that policy of putting America first, taking our nation's and making our nation's efforts important, looking at from a biblical worldview, putting on our biblical lenses, so to speak, is that in line with the Christian philosophy, do you think?
Well, Isaac, it absolutely is to favor one's country, to support one's country. And why do I say that? Well, because the idea that countries are nations factors into it that if we understand God's view, a biblical worldview, we understand that God forms nations. The book of Acts, it actually talks about God laying out the nations with their borders, geographical borders, from before time. So God established them because God works through nations. He raised it up. That's why he instituted civil government, which he talks about in Romans 13 and other places. And so nations have borders. Nations have personalities. Think of Israel, very distinctive nation. God picked Israel, and God said, "I'm going to make of you, Abraham, a great nation, and I am going to bless the nations of the world." So clearly God favors nations, and with them comes along the ability to and the right to support them and to pray for them. And when we pray for those in authority, we are to pray for we don't pray necessarily for everybody in positions of authority everywhere in the world. The idea is that we pray for those in authority over us and who we answer to. So, Isaac, the idea of our nation first is biblical. It fits the biblical precedent, and it fits the model as what God established with Israel. So anyway, so I'm just going to stop right there. But no, the president is on solid ground when he talks about we should favor our nation because this is where we are citizens. And we're ultimately citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but we are citizens of the United States if we are, and therefore we have a loyalty to this nation.
Thank you, Sam. You know, that helps as a Christian seeking to put God first, being a citizen of heaven, and to realize that we can still be patriotic and still be a citizen of heaven. You know, along with that, Dave, I wonder, as we, you know, think through some of the things that are being said about our president because of the refugees coming into our country, and we've discussed this a lot on our program, that's something that comes up often. And again, comparing our country as a country that was founded on Christian principles, unfortunately, we're getting away from those principles in many ways. But what makes us good is the good things that we were founded upon. Do you think that the average Muslim majority country is anywhere near as accepting of foreigners and of people from other religions as we are in America? And even with the refugee crisis, do we see Muslim countries stepping up to do more for Muslim refugees than what America and European countries are doing?
Well, Isaac, let me answer the second question first. The answer is a definitive no. We do not see the Muslim country stepping up and accepting refugees. In fact, over the last couple of years, as we've seen this influx onto the European continent of Muslim refugees, the Muslim world has not responded. They're expecting Europe to respond. They're expecting America, by extension, to respond, but they are not responding. And then to answer your first question, are Muslim countries as accepting of foreigners as we are here in America? Again, the answer to that is a very definitive no. I have traveled a good portion of the world. I have been in countries that are either majority Muslim or are approaching very rapidly going to become majority Muslim. And here's the dirty little secret. It's the grand hypocrisy. What the Muslim world crusades for in America, what they want to do is have their opportunity to worship in their mosques and live their Sharia law lifestyle. If that were reversed and Christians were to call for the same thing in a majority Muslim country, they would be denied. They have been denied. They are being denied. So there's a grand hypocrisy here going on, Isaac.
Well, thank you, Dave. And that's good, I think, for all of us to remember this context. I know growing up in a family where my grandfather was in the Dutch underground, he saw the totalitarian regime of Hitler firsthand. He loved this country. He loved this country before he ever came to it and became a citizen. And yet he loved God. He got saved actually seeing Christians give their lives for the cause in the Dutch underground. And I was able to come over to America eventually. And he loved what America stands for. And he loved being a citizen. And so what an important time to remember the context of what God has done in this country and to be able to be proud of that. When we come back after a short break, we'll be discussing what we can learn from the Bible on the topic of immigration. So please stay tuned. You don't want to miss this.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Welcome back to the program. We are talking about the issues that we are facing in our country, especially with this topic of immigration. And I want to start out this segment by playing a clip of then-Senator Barack Obama when he was running for president in 2008. In this clip, he's going to promise comprehensive immigration reform and border security as a top priority in his first year as president. So, Russ, if you could go ahead and play clip one, please.
The American people need us to put an end to the petty partisanship that passes for politics in Washington. And they need us to enact comprehensive immigration reform once and for all. They need not, we can't wait 20 years from now to do it. We can't wait 10 years from now to do it. We need to do it by the end of my first term as president of the United States of America. And I will make it a top priority in my first year as president, not only because we have an obligation to secure our borders and get control of who comes in and out of our country, not only because we have to crack down on employers who are abusing undocumented immigrants instead of hiring citizens, but because we have to finally bring undocumented immigrants out of the shadows.
All right, Sam, you know, I think there's a lot of things he said in that speech that are very good. In fact, I almost think that if President Trump were to say those same things, the liberals, progressives, the mainstream media would take it apart and claim that it was, you know, being racist or something. But unfortunately, I do not think that President Obama tried to make comprehensive immigration reform and border security a top priority during his first year of office. In fact, I believe it wasn't until 2012 that he actually enacted DACA. So could you maybe tell our listeners why DACA is unconstitutional and explain why President Trump and his Department of Justice said that they really had to reverse it for legal reasons?
Isaac, I would like to, and if I could, let me interject a thought here, because I think you made a good point. You said what Barack Obama said long ago, if President Trump would have said the same things, what would we see? And I want to bring something here into application, because what Barack Obama said and what Donald Trump said is that they both recognized a problem that faces all Americans, all the citizens know it. But the difference is, what is the goal of immigration reform? What was Barack Obama meaning by what he said? Well, it's evidenced by what he did. And what he said and what he did was he also, other clips could be played, he made a point, if you recall, where he said his goal was to fundamentally change America. And that was including that it wasn't run by old white men. He made those statements. He wanted to change the mix and the culture of America. Well, how do you do that? Well, through immigration. So when Barack Obama said he wants to have immigration reform, he used the right words, but his goal was clearly something totally different than a Donald Trump who says immigration reform is needed, because everybody knows it, but I want to make America great again. One diminishes the role of America and our culture as we have known it, Barack Obama. Donald Trump says we have to control immigration or we're going to fundamentally forever change the culture of America so that it's no longer what it used to be. So into that context walks the whole DACA thing. Now, that's when President Obama stepped in, made an executive order to try and make the children of illegal immigrants basically legal. Well, he couldn't do that because immigration laws passed by Congress, so it was an executive order. President Trump has to deal with it because it's a matter of being up in statutory law. And so when the president just a couple weeks ago said we need to deal with this issue, he made it very clear Congress needed to deal with this issue and to make it a statutory, congressionally acted thing, because he said, I don't have the power to actually do it. So you have that circumstance. You've got the children here. Barack Obama said all the way up to 31 years of age. We're going to let them stay if they want. Well, that was not something that he could do. I'm answering your question in a different way. The President Trump has got to deal with it because President Obama did, by executive order, usurped congressional authority relative to any matter of immigration, which happens to focus on the children who are here by illegal parents, immigrants. But Congress is the one that has to deal with it. That's what President Trump has been appropriately saying. We got a problem. Everybody knows it. But Congress, you've got to deal with it. And he's saying we've got to deal with it so that it makes America great, basically what America used to be, and the immigration law reflecting that, counter, though, to what Barack Obama was doing, saying, and enacting.
And, you know, with that, Sam, I was very disappointed when Barack Obama did not make comprehensive immigration reform. I know a lot of Dreamers and the difficulties that they go through because of what happened. And by putting it in this temporary executive order that every 2 years they have to be declared again, they're not really citizens. They're in no man's land. They're kind of in limbo. And so, Dave, kind of along with that, in this speech, President Obama said that we have to secure our borders and get control. And he talked about bringing the undocumented immigrants or illegal immigrants out of the shadows. And I have heard harrowing stories from some of my friends who have come over to the U.S. illegally. I wouldn't wish those experiences on anyone. They're not like the Super Bowl commercial of, you know, a mother and daughter jumping on a pickup truck and coming to the border. A large number of those who cross illegally, they die. Many of the women and children, if not most of them, are violated in the worst imaginable ways. And when they get to a place in America, many of them are still at the mercy of those same corrupt human traffickers that brought them here illegally. So, Dave, can this sort of painful and violent system of illegal immigration, how can anybody consider that humane or helpful to keep that going? And why do you think maybe many progressives and liberals are against a crackdown on this illegal activity?
Well, again, Isaac, the questions you are asking are outstanding and again exposes the grand hypocrisy on the part of so many in Washington, D.C., who claim that we need to be a nation that just accepts anyone and everyone, and they overlook the very scenario you've just described. And it is horrific. And women are treated in the most horrific ways when they attempt to immigrate here. And many of those that attempt to come die either before they get here or die after they get here. It is an incredibly tragic scenario. The question you ask, though, that demands an answer is, why do they not want to crack down on this kind of activity? Why do they want to continue to allow immigrants to come here illegally and these kind of things happen? Well, you've got to understand, and Sam, I think, alluded to it very well in the last response that he gave you. We've got those that want a globalist approach as opposed to a president right now that wants to have a very nationalistic approach. And I don't mean by that white nationalism. I mean a strong love of country. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think we established in the first segment that that's biblical. But some on the part of the left, some of the progressives see this influx of illegal immigrants as a great way to pad their voter base. That's a very selfish thing, while others have a far more sinister thing in mind. They literally want to see the influx of immigrants coming into this country illegally to reshape the entire United States of America and remake it, as Sam so eloquently said, Barack Obama stated very, very clearly. Either way, this has to stop. And as Sam said, our president must deal with it.
Sam, when it comes to DACA, when it comes to the refugee crisis, many well-meaning Christians, and we talked about this just a little bit, but they have spoken out against President Trump for his actions. Could you maybe share with our listeners some of the things, some of the scriptures that these professing Christians are twisting out of context to call for open borders? And then could you maybe give us some biblical context for having the borders that you started to allude to in the first segment?
Yeah, I can, just briefly, Isaac. And that is this, the whole concept of nations is God's idea. That's where we got to start. God's idea. The United Nations concept of today are trying to convince people that borders mean nothing, that we're a part of a global, we're global citizens rather than citizens of a particular nation. God established nations. Acts 17 talks about that. So we have nations. Nations have borders. Nations have a common worship of a common view of God, and they have a common language. That's the definition of a nation. So when there is an attack on those things, there is an attack on nationhood, which then moves us right into the global concept, which ultimately we know as believers, there will one day stand up and there's going to be an antichrist that's going to stand up and take leadership of the nations of the world, and they're going to yield to him their leadership. But that right now is not what we want to do. That's not where we're going. I told me where we're going to end up. But the nationhood concept comes from God himself, Isaac. And so open borders, any of those kinds of things, common multiple languages within a country, they all speak against what God has established for nations. And it works against God's plan for the nations.
You know, Dave, we've all heard a lot of emotional, you know, impassioned diatribes against President Trump, saying that he's even a racist. But when we think especially of these dreamers who were brought over as children, does the fault of that situation lie on the families that brought them over and the countries that were so horrible they felt like they had to escape? Or does that fault fall on our president and our people?
Isaac, let me say this very, very quickly. Our president is not a racist. If you've ever visited any of his properties, the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C., in New York, and I've visited some of them, and I will tell you this, he employs all kinds of ethnicities and nationalities. Those people love working there. It's obvious they are treated well, and their response is over the top good toward the president, so he's not a racist. But there is enough blame to go around on a number of levels. Our immigration policy has encouraged people to come here and attempt to come here illegally. So we do bear a little bit of the blame. The countries that are so horrific that people want to escape them, of course, bear some blame as well.
Well, thanks so much for summing that up. To me, this is a very important topic. I hope that you've enjoyed listening to it. We have a lot more to talk about in this way. I've lived in Central America, worked in Mexico. I have a lot of friends who have come over here. And so I want to continue talking about this. But when we come back, we'll be talking about another aspect of this immigration, and that is refugees, and looking at the amount of Christian refugees versus Muslim refugees coming into America. And there's some things going on with the new administration that might surprise you. So please stay tuned and listen as we get ready to come back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Thanks so much for listening to us here on Stand in the Gap today. And I want to thank the Honorable Sam Rohr and Evangelist Dave Kistler for co-hosting with me. I'm Pastor Isaac Crockett, and we've been talking about a biblical approach to immigration and to the refugee situation that we're facing. But again, I want to thank you for being a part of our program and for being a part of the American Pastors Network through listening to this radio program. And I would like to remind you as our listeners that if you would like to listen to this program again, maybe you've only gotten to hear part of it, you can listen to the whole thing on archive or see additional information, other programs and resources, or share some of these topics with your friends. You can do all of that by checking out both our website, standinthegapradio.com, or by getting our mobile phone app. But you can also follow us on social media to stay up to date with the latest information. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we even have a YouTube channel as well. And if you follow our social media accounts, it makes it really, really easy to share that information that you hear on this program, maybe with a friend or family member, maybe a person from the Generation Z or Millennial generation or something that you want to share part of this with. And so I also want to ask you for your help. We need you to pray for us, especially now at the start of 2018. We have so many new opportunities for ministry coming up that we really, really would appreciate your prayers. And we would also be grateful if, as you're praying for us, God would lay it on your heart to support our ministry financially in any way. Well, we've been talking about immigration and seeing what's been happening under the new administration in regards to DACA and to refugees. We've looked at biblical teachings on nationhood and boundaries and borders. But I want to tie this into what was talked about earlier this week on this program. It was pointed out that the Muslim population in America is growing significantly. Sam, you referred to that a few moments ago as well. And under President Obama, a large number of the refugees coming to our country were identifying as Muslim. Now, in November of 2015, towards the end of his time as president, there was an article in the Washington Times, and this was the title. The title was, quote, U.S. discriminates against Christian refugees, accepts 96% Muslims, 3% Christians, end of quote. The author of that article pointed out that of the thousands of Syrian refugees being accepted to our country, only 3% were Christians and 96% were Muslims. Now, in an interesting turn of events, an article that I read earlier this month in the Washington Examiner has this title, quote, "In Switch, Trump favors Christian refugees 6-1 over Muslims," end of quote. The author in that article, Paul Bettard, writes, "Since the fiscal year began, 60% of new refugees admitted into the United States have been Christian and just 13% Muslim." Dave, I want to go to you on this one. What is your reaction to this major shift in refugees under the current administration?
Well, Isaac, one of the things we need to recognize and need to never forget is that immigration policy reflects priorities. It reflects a nation's priorities, and it certainly is a strong indicator of a president's priorities. And under the Obama administration, the president was merely being, in those days, consistent with his philosophy. Many of those listening to this program right now will remember the now very famous speech where the president said, "America is not a Christian nation. In fact, if we were to calculate the number of Muslims in this country, we could be considered one of the world's leading Muslim countries." And he constantly demeaned the Judeo-Christian background of this country. Now you come to 2017 and 2018, we have a different president, Donald Trump, and his immigration policy reflects the priorities that he believes, and I'm going to say it this way, the priorities that are consistent with the founding of this country. So we are a Judeo-Christian nation. We were founded upon such. And so my response to this dramatic shift is that it cannot and will not be anything but good for the United States of America.
All right, Sam, Dave has said this is a good shift. It's showing a priority back to our Judeo-Christian roots. It's also showing that we believe that Christians who are being persecuted in the Middle East need to be able to find refuge here. What do you attribute this shift in refugees to? Are there policy changes that President Trump has made directly that are relating to this matter? What's going on that's making this happen so fast?
Well, I think what's happening, Isaac, and Dave pointed well to it, you have to say it's an understanding of what constitutes a nation. Every nation is comprised of a certain body of law, a certain predominant ideology. Effectively, the definitions of a nation is a common border, common borders, common language, common view of God. That's the definition of a nation. Well, here in the United States, God is the God of the Bible. The Constitution is the governing body, the highest body of law based on biblical principles. You go to Saudi Arabia, you go to Syria, you go to Iran, it's not the Bible, and it's certainly not a common view of God. Allah is not the God of the Bible. So, in effect, what you have here is that you have this common view of what constitutes a nation, but it's based on a God, and we are in a constitutional republic. So, Barack Obama, when he did what he did, he was consistent with his philosophy. His philosophy is not governed by the Constitution, nor is it governed by our law. What you see Donald Trump doing, when he stands, takes his oath and puts his hand on the Bible, he's operating consistently, more consistently with what our Constitution says, what the Bible says, and what our law says. And so this is a very, very big contrast that we're seeing here in this matter. And this president, I think, understands his oath, hand on the Bible, not the Quran, and the Constitution based on God's word, not the Quran or not some Marxist document that a Soviet Union may be following. Those are the distinctions. It comes right down to what you say perceive as the basis of law.
So it really goes back to what we were talking about in that first segment, is that they can use same terminology about immigration reform, but they have different goals. And we're seeing that President Trump has the goal of seeing our Constitution as the law of the land, and the moral authority of the Bible that gave us the Constitution is being used. Wow. And it really brings up something that came up in our show yesterday, that Gary had talked about Voice of the Martyrs and the persecution of Christians. And, you know, Dave, you've traveled all over the country, and you see how we are very comfortable as Christians in our country. For the most part, we don't see a lot of persecution in the way our brothers and sisters overseas have. We've had people on our program who have faced persecution, especially in the Middle East, people on our program who have lost families and friends, who've been tortured, even killed for Christ. Dave, what would you say to our listeners so that we could encourage them and encourage ourselves to pray more for the persecuted church?
Well, Isaac, I would say this. All it takes is listening to one of the many guests, as you've referenced, that has been on this program citing, and I'm thinking of one dear brother who watched his own physical brother beheaded because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, this occurred in a majority Muslim country. But in addition to listening to that, all it takes is traveling outside these United States into some of these countries that are now rapidly falling under the sway of Islamic ideology and Islamic Sharia law, and you see something that motivates you like you will never be motivated to pray. I'm reminded, Isaac, of a trip to the African continent. I remember a young man, young pastor, coming up to me. He was so full of the joy of the Lord. He was one of the most wonderful representatives and advertisements for the gospel of Christ I've ever met. And a gentleman saw me talking to him. He pulled me aside later and he said, "Dave, that young man's church is surrounded on three sides by Muslim mosques." And then he said this, he said, "Unless something dramatically changes, that young man will one day die for his faith because he is so vocal, so vibrant about sharing the gospel." And so those kind of things will motivate you to pray for the persecuted church. We don't see much of that in the United States of America, but unless something changes, unless we get our immigration laws fixed, we're going to see more of that in the United States as well as around the world.
Very powerful. You know, Dave, that reminds me of a very close family member of mine. I won't say who and what country in Africa it was, but he and his wife were discipling a young girl whose family was Muslim. And she asked, "What does it mean to take up your cross?" And they said, "What would happen if your parents find out that you're studying the Bible?" And she said, "Oh, I understand." And shortly after that, she came back beaten and bloody. And she said, "I have accepted Christ as my Savior and I've taken up my cross." And we don't see that in our country so many times. Sam, what can we do as comfortable Christians in America? What can we do to pray for, but not just to pray for, other things that we could do to help our persecuted brothers and sisters of Christ in other parts of the world?
Well, Isaac, it's a great question. One of the most fundamental things is American Christians, we know, they just need to understand what the Bible says, because most Christians in America who call that name by their own words, Isaac, don't really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To be a cultural Christian, which is just to say I live in a Christian nation and I like the benefits that come from Christian laws, is far different than to be a true believer in Jesus Christ who understands who God is through Jesus Christ and the salvation that he provides, and to live accordingly. What do we do is that American Christians really need to look in the mirror and say, do I really know Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, or am I trusting in something else? That's where it starts. If we don't understand as a true believer in Jesus Christ in this country, Isaac, we will lose our nation because we will not understand the basis of our laws or who God is through Jesus Christ that makes all this possible. I submit that part of the true reason we're in trouble in our country because we have too many cultural Christians who enjoy the benefits of what God have done, but they don't know Jesus Christ personally.
Amen. You know, our currency says, "In God we trust," and a biblical worldview of God's redemptive plan will make all the difference in the world when it comes to this topic of immigration, of praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, when we come back, we want to talk about more of this, about opportunities as Christians living in a diverse nation to not only believe in Jesus Christ, but to share that with others, to reach all the world for Jesus. So keep the radio on this station, and we will be right back with more about this important topic that I'm sure you'll want to listen to as we wrap things up coming up here in our next segment.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, folks. We've been talking about the diversity that we have in our country and the strengths that we have here in America because of the melting pot effect that we have, but especially because of the foundation that we have in our founding documents on the Word of God and from a biblical Judeo-Christian Bible-believing worldview. But we've also seen that there are many dangers and warnings out there for a convoluted and broken immigration system. And so now, as we've talked through so much of that, I want us to be able to wrap these things up with some solutions to what's going on. And I want to think about our opportunity to use this country that we live in as Americans to reach souls from all around the world that are here in our own backyard. But before we go into that, Sam, could you maybe once again just briefly delineate the role of government on this issue of immigration and of boundaries and nationhood, as opposed to the role of the individual or the role of the church in responding to other individuals who are in our communities that may be from other parts of the world?
Absolutely, Isaac, and I think that's a great, great question. When we on this program talk about biblical worldview, and I'm going to use that word right now, that means looking at the world from a biblical perspective as God looks at it. So we can't talk about government or church or the individual or differences between nations without saying, well, what does God say about them? Well, what we know is that God has these institutions. He has the individual. We all answer to God independently for ourselves. He has the family. That now is its own structure, fundamental bedrock of all nations. Then you have civil government, which can vary one nation to the other, but that's what forms the nation. And then you have the church. All of these work together in God's plan. Now, the purpose of government is to, Romans 13, enact justice. Now, what that mean? That means praise those who do well. And I'm going to put in praise those who do well biblically, according to the definition of what God says is good, and punish those who do evil, to enact justice against those who break that law. That's the purpose of civil government, to put into effect a structure that can allow all people to come and experience freedom. When that happens, then you have a nation to which people want to come. When you have a nation that does not do what God wants, then you have a nation from which people want to flee. And the reason that people have wanted to come to the United States is because we've had a system based on biblical principles, God's design, and so like a light to the nations, the people have come and want to come for the freedom that it's here. But if we don't keep it anchored, Isaac, to biblical principles and the purpose which God made it, we will not only lose our freedom, but the light to the nations will also go out. So it's very, very critical, but it's anchored on God's word and God's design for what a nation is and its relationship to who God is.
What a wonderful reminder. And everything we do is connected to that. And even as Christians, we're told to walk carefully in these evil days as children of light, not as children of darkness. So important. And Dave, kind of building on that, and we've been talking some about this in between the breaks, and you've shared some things that have been happening in your own ministry, but you're an evangelist and you get opportunities to evangelize all over the country. How can we use the diversity that we have in this country as individual Christians and churches? How can we take opportunities to evangelize the world by witnessing and evangelizing to our own neighbors?
Well, Isaac, let me back up and just kind of underscore something that Sam so powerfully said in his last response. He's talking about areas of jurisdictional authority. The government has jurisdictional authority, and they are responsible before God, Romans 13, to do certain things. And Sam stated it about as clearly as it could be stated. They're to enact justice. That is the role of government. Praise good, punish evil. The church has a different area of jurisdictional authority. And that authority and that commission, it's sometimes called the Great Commission, is to win a world to Jesus Christ. So the two are not in conflict with each other. We still have laws that we have to live by. We have a government that must protect its citizenry and allow people into the country only through legal means, and those coming to the country that are intent on bettering the country, being a part of the system, not trying to overthrow the system. But all of that being said, with all of the people that are coming into our country, we now have a mission field that has come to us. We don't even have to leave this country necessarily to find a mission field that is global in nature. They're here among us, and I praise God for this. In very recent days, we had the opportunity of seeing two Muslim young men come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, who have come into the United States of America, and by the way, came in legally, and they have the opportunity and have had the opportunity now to trust Christ and live now for Him in a country that affords them the freedom and the liberty to live for Christ, not one that attempts to squelch that.
Well, what a powerful opportunity, what a responsibility that we have with this light that we have been given from God to share that. And historically, America has been a great country to send forth missionaries. You know, Sam, would you take us, we just have a few moments left in our program, but Sam, could you take us to the Lord in prayer as we close out this program today?
Absolutely, Isaac. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you to be in this nation. Those who are listening right now, we are privileged, Lord, to be granted the opportunity to be in a nation founded on biblical principles, and the freedom that we experience is because of those who went before, who agreed with you, Lord, about what the nation was for and what you would do and how you would bless the nation that followed your principles. We ask, Lord, that in these days when there are such difficulty in our country, when there are such fightings and turmoil, it's because, Lord, we believe people have walked away from who you are. We pray that there would be a return to the God of the Bible, and may this program and all who are listening stand up for truth as you've identified it wherever they are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam. And Sam and Dave, thank you so much for allowing me to be on the program with you today. And I just want to encourage our listeners to go to our website to check out more resources that we have, things about this subject, if you would like to have more. And don't forget that tomorrow we have another exciting and informative program for you right here. It's just coming up 23 hours away. So please, until then, pray for all of our ministries here at American Pastors Network. Thanks so much for listening, and please make a decision to stand in the gap for the Lord today. So tune in again tomorrow on radio, online, or on your smartphone.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.